In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Well, today is my third and final sermon on the topic of authentic happiness, which is based, these have been based on the book by the same name, Authentic Happiness, by Martin Seligman. As I was thinking about talking with you this morning, I was wondering to myself, if any of you might be thinking, now, why do I need this? I'm already pretty happy. Or there might be some of you that think, well, I'm so preoccupied by all the troubles and illness and issues that are going on with me, I don't really have time to think about getting more happy. Well, I hope that isn't the way you feel, either of those, but I believe that this book parallels, from a psychological point of view, the basic teachings of the Christian faith. And it can help us. Now, in the first sermon, I talked about what modern research says happiness is and isn't, what brings it and what does not. And I always find that a little surprising, thinking things will make me happy that end up not doing so. In the second sermon, I talked about some of the ways that are under our voluntary control, things that we can do to be more happy. And then today, I'd like to talk about some of the strengths and virtues that help us to be happy. And I think you'll see that these really do parallel many Christian teachings. And by the way, summaries of all these three sermons are available on that little table outside the worship space in the hallway. Now, Seligman says that although we live in a postmodern and an age of ethical relativism, it's become commonplace to assume that virtues are merely social conventions. And yet, an exhaustive study of various cultures around the world will reveal a surprising consensus about most things. I know I've had that experience of meeting people, let's say, from Asia, and they laugh at the same funny things I laugh at, and they get upset about the same things I get upset at. We have a lot in common. And the Bible, too, also lists virtues for God's people. Back in Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah lists the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And, as you probably know, St. Paul in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and some other places makes lists of what he calls the gifts of the Spirit. And then in Galatians 5, he lists what he calls the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, gentleness, generosity, kindness, faithfulness. I left one out. I don't know what it is. Anyway, and self-control. And by the way, this list pretty well parallels what Seligman says. And by the way, Seligman offers a questionnaire that can help us to gauge our strengths in all these areas. And if you'd like to take it, his website address is authentichappiness.com, which is in today's copy and also in the number two sermon. I think it's instructive to know what our strengths are so that we can put them to work in the best way that will be rewarding to us and of benefit to others. And also, if we find out that perhaps our score is low in some, maybe those are some we want to work on, or maybe not. Okay, the first one I'd like to mention that Seligman talks about is wisdom and knowledge, and that again sounds a lot like what the scriptures say. I visualize wisdom to mean judging rightly or sagacity, and knowledge is overlapping to it, but knowledge is knowing facts and information, and both important. And I should add that there are many other types besides these of wisdom and knowledge. For example, are you a curious person? Do you love learning? Do you like taking classes, reading, or going to museums? Anywhere and everywhere there is an opportunity to learn. So if you take the questionnaire, it'll ask you to rate yourself 1 through 10 through lots of these questions. And if you receive an average of 8 or above, then this is likely one of your gifts. So then you can think, well, how can I put this gift to work? Am I putting it to work the best way? Do you benefit from your love of learning? And if you do, you'll be happy yourself and others will benefit through you. In fact, I read once, it's a really great thing when you're reading something new to imagine that you're going to teach that to somebody else helps you retain it better. I always think, you know, when I read it, will it preach? You know? Other types of wisdom and knowledge include good judgment. You know, one sort of intelligence is what we call street smarts. Also creativity or practical intelligence, common sense. And social intelligence is the ability to notice people's moods, temperaments, motivations, needs, intentions, and then act upon these intuitions. My wife says, I need work in this area. So rate yourself and see. Okay, second major area that Seligman talks about is courage. Now, all my life, I've had some misunderstandings about that. Courage refers to what we do in the face of strong adversity. Now, don't hear me too quickly. Courage doesn't mean being foolish. You know, it doesn't mean doing things where we know we're going to get hurt, like running out into the middle of a busy intersection or something like that. There are times when it's smart not to do it, but sometimes it's right to do it. So this strength of courage includes taking emotional stances that might be unpopular, difficult, or dangerous even. The brave person is able to act and not react automatically with fight or flight, but rather to think through the issue and make a clear-headed, responsible choice. A good example I thought of is Rosa Parks taking a front seat on an Alabama bus back in the 1950s. I don't know entirely what was in her mind as she did that, but it had great repercussions by beginning the civil rights movement. Courage is something that whistleblowers often have. And courage is also perseverance, sticking with something. And it's integrity. You're an honest person, not only speaking the truth, but living your life in a genuine and authentic way, where people would say about you that he or she is a, quote, real person. So the question is, how courageous are you? And is this something you want to work on? Is this something you're using well? Third major virtue is humanity and love. St. Paul says, the greatest virtue is love. In the favorite lesson read at all weddings, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit. He ends up by saying, now faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. And by that he means unconditional love, such as Jesus had. Love is displayed in positive social action with other people. And one dimension is generosity. George Vaillant was a Harvard professor who conducted a 6-decade study of the lives of men in the Harvard classes of 1939 to 1944. And he found that most of these men were far more able to love than they were able to receive love. And some of them talked about getting letters of thanks and praise, and they were not able to even read them. You know, I can relate to that. When I left my last church, they gave me a nice book of remembrance, but it gets me too upset to look at it, so I don't do it very much. So probably I need to grow in that area. I think it's true, someone once said, that a Christian person can receive the correction or the praise of his brother or sister in his or her heart with peace. So if it's praise or blame, we receive it with peace. If you need to work on it like I do, I hope you do. Fourth virtue is justice. Humane leadership is the ability to be an effective leader, getting the group's work done while maintaining good relationships among group members. A humane leader forgives enemies and includes them in the moral circle along with his or her friends. Think of Nelson Mandela as a humane leader, and think of Slobodan Milosevic or Hitler as the opposite. Sometimes we all get a chance to be a leader. Fifth virtue is temperance. This virtue includes one that Paul lists, and he calls it self-control. So the question is, are you able to hold your desires, needs, and impulses in check when that's appropriate? When something bad happens, can you regulate your response? Now, we all have natural feelings about things that happen. Sometimes we feel angry or hurt or whatever, but what we do next, we do have control over it. I've always said the Holy Spirit is present in every situation, even when we don't think of it. Sometimes when we're feeling tired or harassed or too busy or under pressure or sick, something like those things, we might not handle situations as well as we wish we did. And by the way, on the news, aren't we hearing so much about people whose reactions to events runs amok? People that shoot people in movie theaters, or that have extreme road rage. Like I said, we all have emotional reactions, but we all need self-control to be able to have governance over what we do next. Finally, the sixth virtue is transcendence, an appreciation of beauty and excellence. It could be in nature, it could be in art, in mathematics, in science, in music, in everyday things. And by the way, I want to say congratulations to St. Catherine's, because we have clear windows, and when you look at the windows, you see God's creation outside that we sang about in our opening hymn today. My view is that God got it right the first time. And God's nature to me is more beautiful than a stained glass window could ever be. So, way to go. As Christians, we should expect to be good at this subject of transcendence. It also includes a sense of gratitude, hope, optimism, and future-mindedness, and it includes spirituality, a sense of wonder, a sense of purpose and faith. It helps us to be more forgiving and merciful. And I would say it even includes being playful and humorous, seeing the lighter side of life and having zest and passion and enthusiasm. Do you throw yourself, body and soul, into the activities you undertake? Do you wake up in the morning looking forward to the day? Is the passion that you bring to activities infectious? Do you feel inspired? You know, both the word inspired and enthusiasm mean literally to be filled with God. So I hope you are. So again, Seligman's list of virtues are wisdom and knowledge, courage, love and humanity, justice, temperance, and transcendence. And his recipe for happiness is that we use our strengths. We identify our signature strengths and choose work and activities that let us use them every day. And if you're a leader, we hope you will choose persons to work with you whose signature strengths also match the work that they are called to do. In conclusion, we can all be happier than we are. I know I challenged you the first week to join with me in becoming an authentic happyologist. I know that's a corny statement, but I think that corn is good. So being cheerful and enthusiastic benefits not only us, but all those whose lives we touch. I, for one, intend to use my strengths and to work on some areas that I wish were stronger. So I invite you to do the same. And maybe this is just one more way that Jesus heals us and nurtures us. When we know and believe God's plan for us, we can keep smiling with the authentic smile of authentic happiness. Amen.